This is called The Bra, the Blonde, and the Boxer Shorts. A power outage in the wee hours knocked all the clocks out. They came back on 42 minutes later, reset to blinking midnight, and they stayed that way as time slipped on. Consequently, the alarm didn't go off, and Ellis Leahy slept right through his normal 5 a.m. wake-up. The phone call was what roused him, by proxy. His wife Ruth answered it, an inaccurate hand on the end of a groggy arm, clattering the receiver off the plastic stand, then retrieving it from the floor, bringing it back to a puffy cheek and mumbling, "Hello?" as she rolled over to check the time. A woman's voice, strung tight on the edge of panic, said, "Is Ellis there? This is Mona at the cafe." Ruth looked at the lump in the bed next to her, at the flashing numbers on the alarm clock over the crest of his shoulder, and she said to the girl, "He'll be there in 15 minutes. She hung up, poked Ellis in a rib, said, "Get up, you're late for work." Ellis lifted his head, looked at the clock, groaned, then sagged back down and wormed his face beneath the pillow. So Ruth, the director of family finance, a woman with an intimate knowledge of how much they needed his paycheck, curled up her legs and placed her feet in the small of her husband's back and kicked. He flew off the mattress, collided with a wall, bounced back away from it, and hit the floor 4 feet from the bed with a dead thump like a 210-pound sandbag. The lamp jiggled, the alarm clock rattled an inch closer to the edge of the nightstand, and Ellis tugged his blanket down and wrapped himself and tried to go back to sleep, but thought better of that plan when Ruth growled, "Get your lazy ass up and get to work. Don't make me get out of this bed." He got up, staggered to the bathroom, peed out a quart of last night's beer, climbed into his pants, did a hanger sliding search of the closet for a white shirt and couldn't find one. Through the blankets she'd pulled over her head, Ruth said, "Try the dryer." He did, found one and pulled it on. In his half-awake state, he failed to notice the black brassiere that clung by an obstinate charge of static electricity to the middle of his wrinkled white shirt's back. "Is that supposed to be an omelet?" Ellis asked Mona Diaz when he arrived at the cafe. The chunky little waitress had taken the grill in his absence and was doing a jittery but passable job. "Yes, it is," she hissed, scooping some fried potatoes onto the plate when the egg got him in question. "It's shaped kind of funny," Ellis observed. Mona spun and slid the plate onto the shelf of the service window, rang the counter bell, and called out, "Order up, Joe girl," before turning her attention back to the tardy cook. "Your head," she said, "will be shaped kind of funny after I punch it a few times." "You sound just like my wife," Ellis said. Mona untied her apron and threw it at him and said, "Get back to work, shipbird." "I guess that's why I love you so," he replied. Mona snorted at this and clipped out of the kitchen to grab her ticket book so she could help with the breakfast rush. As she pushed out the kitchen swing door, fellow waitress Johanna, Joe girl, motioned her over to the dining room side of the service window. "Look at the dumbass," Johanna said, nodding into the kitchen. Ellis was dropping a short stack on the grill with his back to them. His bra, lacy and black, was stretched out on a vertical along his spine, slightly twisted, like Mona's omelet. And all the tension that had built up in the girl who had taken over the unfamiliar and frazzling chore of grill cooking that morning blew away with her sudden outburst of laughter. "What the hell," Ellis asked over his shoulder, "is so goddamn funny out there?" As his short stack, under the influence of baking powder and heat, swelled like three individual living entities on the grill. Later, when the dining room was full and Ellis had all his tickets off the wheel, Johanna asked him to come out and run the coffee pot around for refills. He did, and the waitresses nodded at the bra on his back to all the regular patrons, causing an uplifting of the mood in the Loma Alta Cafe, while Ellis continued on without a clue, going into a flirtation mode with a short blonde woman on table three who he thought, from the big bright twinkle-eyed smile she'd flashed his way, was coming on to him. Grins all around evolved into giggles, but Ellis, enchanted by cleavage, the woman wore the same brand of bra that Ellis wore on his back, was oblivious, undistracted from the presumed potential feast at hand. He continued with his line of banal patter, eyes drinking in the lift and conjoinment, until his wife Ruth showed up. After he'd left for work, she'd gone to the dryer to retrieve her favorite bra, the one that made her breasts look perky and, she firmly believed, took 10 years off her figure. She'd rummaged in the mishmash of tumbled clothes and come up empty-handed, but Ellis's black socks clinging like snake skins to her blue blouse clued her in to its possible whereabouts. So she drove to the cafe, stalked in out of the parking lot in her bathrobe, her hair in curlers, her breasts riding low. Ellis was leaning on the blonde's table now, treating her to a fatuously suave grin and a dirty joke about a well-endowed man, a nun, and a bowl of creamed corn. Ruth, scowling ferociously, stomped up behind him and ripped his bra free. "What the?" Ellis cried at the static sizzle, jumping away from his target, flinching when he saw his wife. "Get your fat ass back in that kitchen," Ruth said through her clenched teeth, "and stay away from this hoochie." Ellis backed off. The hoochie cringed. Her blonde page boy, under the influence of the residual static electricity in Ruth's black bra, lifted away from her head, snapping and crackling in an electrified Medusa storm, as dangling lace hanging from Ruth's fist rose up and pointed back at the dancing hair, sparks arcing back and forth. Ruth, indeed everyone in the cafe, drank in the phenomenon with a momentary silent awe that was broken by their explosion of laughter. But neither Ruth nor the blonde were amused. Ruth crumpled the black lace into a ball in her fist and glared the place to silence as the blonde stabbed her hands into her hot-wired page boy and ran screaming out the door. And back in the kitchen, Ellis peered through the service window. He didn't know he'd worn an extra accessory into work today, and he didn't have a clue as to how his wife could have known about his harmless little flirtation, or why she'd come in brandishing a bra, or why, as she stood in the cafe's door ranting at the running blonde, she was wearing a pair of his paisley print boxer shorts on the back of her bathrobe, on the bulge of her left bun.